Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dina Alexander, and we're talking about something that doesn't get talked about enough, and that is helping young people avoid the tragedy of being exposed to pornography. So, Dina, just tell me a little bit of some of the stats that really will set the stage for this conversation.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having me on, first of all. There are a lot of scary statistics out there, but I first and foremost want to let parents know that, yes, this is a major problem, but two, we can do something about this. I do not want parents to feel literally the terror that I felt when I realized how severe this problem was. The average exposure for the first time for pornography is anywhere between 9 and 11. There are definitely strong statistics that say 11, and there's some that say age 9. Mm. And there's also another strong statistic that shows that one of the biggest consumers of pornography are kids ages 13 to 17. But we hear stories all the time of children as young as 3, 4, 5, 6 being exposed either from a parent's history on the computer, playing on a phone, playing on a tablet, having an older sibling expose them, or worst of all, a predator who is using it to coerce them, yeah, and to groom them.
Yes. You know, as an educator, probably one of the hardest things I do is to tell a parent, I think your child has been exposed to adult sexual behavior. I never am greeted warmly. No one ever has said, oh, I'm so glad you've alerted me to that. I'm always, it's like the parents have their head in the sand.
And you're the bad guy for being for being the messenger.
Yeah,
and you're just trying to protect.
I really hope to learn from this show how I can help parents that I work with every day, and that our homeschooling community will also recognize that this isn't something we should put our heads in the sand about and pretend like it's going to go away. I think it's probably going to escalate even more.
Absolutely. I feel like we are, like it's 1970 and people are just starting to say, guess what? There's drugs in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying, not my neighborhood, not my child. That's something that happens in the ghetto or somewhere else or a different culture, when really it was all around them. And there was not a lot of great drug rehabilitation programs back there. They were still developing. So it's the same thing right now,
yes,
with this basically a new drug, pornography, mm-hmm, that our kids are being exposed to and getting addicted to and building, mm-hmm, up a tolerance, et cetera, et cetera. And so we do have a few programs out there for, say, an addiction side, but also there's not as many resources for parents. So that's,
yes,
what alerted me when I started this work. There's a lot of talk out there about addiction, but there's also talk for adults and for spouses of addicted persons, but there was nothing for parents to help them. So that's when we decided to create our organization. So our website is educateempowerkids.org, and on there you're going to find tons of resources for parents of how to start the conversation of, hey, I wanted to let you know there's an issue out there and I want you to be aware of it. We need to talk about it. We have different solutions for different age groups, and we've also in the last year developed a new book. It's called 30 Days of Sex Talks, Empowering Your Child with Knowledge of Sexual Intimacy. And in it, we talk about a lot of issues that are relevant, especially for 2015. Sexting, social media, media literacy. We even cover body image. And for the older kids, we talk about consent, because unfortunately, a lot of people don't know what no means, and they don't know what, mm-hmm, yes means either. But we're probably the only sex ed book that is going to ask parents of children as young as 3 to 7 to start the conversation,
yes,
on pornography.
Now, I want to go over that website again. Let's spell it out. I have educate
empower
kids. So it's
the word educate,
educate, then the letter M, and then power kids,
kids.org.
And make sure you remember the S on kids. Educate empower kids.org. And your goal is to really expose this.
To really empower parents. You know, we say empower kids, but we want the parents to do the empowering. You know,
right.
Like a child would not go to our website and be entertained or find a lot of information for him. So the website is for parents because we want parents to be the first best source of mm-hmm. information. Studies show that we believe the first source. So if our kids hear something from television or pornography or their friends, they'll tend to believe that first over the parents, and we want parents to be the first source. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is a great tool for homeschoolers especially.
It is, and I can't stress enough, educateempowerkids.org, that needs to be part of your arsenal to help protect your kids. So as far as your goal, how do you... when you're looking at developing the material and the website, how do you do that without showing a pathway? I mean, that's the biggest thing we have in developing drug prevention curriculum, is we don't want to give the kids a path. We want to prevent but not show them the way.
Exactly. It is, and it's a very tough line. And you're going to find parents who, that's why when you look at our books, you'll see that the images are either non-existent or very small, you know, and mm-hmm. they're just something very simple, but it's, again, it focuses on the parent making the choice of what they're going to talk about. So our book is something that it's okay for kids to look at mm-hmm. for sure. There is nothing graphic or inappropriate in our books, but it's for the parent. So this mm-hmm. is not a book that you would hand your child and say, hey, read this and let me know if you have questions. The whole book is discussion questions. So even on the tip, you know, on the for the youngest age group, the 3 to 7, it has, you know, we have a section on pornography. It's only made up of 3 or 4 questions mm-hmm. because it needs to be that simple for that age group where you're teaching. So I'm going to give you an example where basically you're going to give 3 principles to a child that young. We don't look at pictures of naked people. Mm-hmm. Number 2, we don't take pictures of ourselves that are naked because all of our kids mm-hmm. have phones and such, or they're playing with our phones.
Yes.
And 3rd, if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, come and talk to mom mm-hmm. and dad. And then the parent chooses how they want to take that information and spread that further. Or if they look at their child and they go, no, I'm done. And it's kind of, it's difficult, but it is something that we want parents mm-hmm. to be prayerful about and to think about. We know your children and you love your child better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we want parents to believe that about themselves and to do their best. And there's also a certain element of you're going to do your best and you're going to let God take care of the rest. Mm-hmm. So I know that's a hard thing. We want every quick and fast answer, but every single child is different. And I have found that with my own 3 children. I have an 8, 11, and 14-year-old. And each conversation has been different, but each conversation I've had with them about sexual intimacy and even pornography has been amazing. And I have grown and our relationships have mm-hmm. grown. And at the end of the day, that's what our program is about. It's about strengthening families. And we can do that by even tackling these difficult topics.
Now, we're referring to 3 books. So just describe, the first one begins ages 3 to 7.
Yes, the first book is ages 3 to 7, and you're going to have very simple topics in there. Again, even you're going to have good touch, bad touch, a little bit on anatomy. You're going to have the beginnings of talking about healthy relationships, because we as parents need to be modeling. Well, what, so our kids know, what does a great, healthy relationship look like? What does affection look like? Because again, once mm-hmm. they're exposed to pornography, they're going to see something that has no intimacy. And they need to be able to look at those images and go, that's not right.
Yes.
That is not appropriate. Those are fake. Those are actors and actresses. We want to teach them to deconstruct that image once they come upon it.
So 3 to 7, and then the next group is?
Then we have the 8 to 11.
8 to 11.
And then we start diving into some tougher topics in there. So even in that, though, like we start talking about masturbation. So this is one that terrifies parents.
Yes.
Christian and non-Christian alike, I have found. It doesn't matter what their background is. I have been in sex ed talks that among the highly educated, sophisticated people that they think they have all the answers, but you bring this topic up, they freeze. They're just as terrified mm-hmm. as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that, again, is where we bring up a few questions and the parent decides how they're going to handle it. They're going to use their own cultural and spiritual beliefs mm-hmm. of how... Do I approve of this behavior or do I not approve? Do I feel like it's healthy or not healthy?
Mm-hmm.
We as parents have to make that choice and create that environment in our mm-hmm. homes of what we feel is appropriate. We also start talking, you know, a little bit more about healthy body image. This is something that is bombarding our kids like crazy, and many parents don't realize it is related to this hypersexualized culture and what I call a pornified mm-hmm. culture that we live in that is putting all these ridiculous standards on our children.
Yes.
And we need to fight back mm-hmm. and let our kids know they're beautiful and amazing on their own.
Doesn't it make them even more susceptible, too, if they feel bad about their bodies and then, wow, you know, they can either medicate the bad feeling with, you know, visually looking at inappropriate images, or they are susceptible to actually becoming involved in relationships with predators because they have, you know, spoken to that very vulnerable.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up predators because that is something that we cover more than once in these books because, again, we can't just have one talk with our kids.
That's
you know,
right.
There's a couple of different talks in here. There's even one where we talk about how predators groom children, but we also talk about how to say no. Where you're going to practice with your kids, when is it okay to say no? We don't want our children to say no to us, right?
Right.
But there's times when we need them to
yes,
say no to yeah. other adults. And
yes.
so we're going to have to describe and explain those kind of situations of what, when those situations are and when it's okay. And empower them and let them mm-hmm. know it's okay to do this. Or you know what? If Uncle So-and-so wants to give you a hug or Aunt Sally, you don't have to do it. That's another concept. Mm-hmm. I was always taught you give your
yes.
grandma a kiss, you
mm-hmm.
give your uncle or aunt a hug goodbye,
mm-hmm.
and we don't teach that anymore.
Yes.
Because I need my kids to be able to stand up for themselves
right.
when the time is right. I don't even force my children to give me a hug if mm-hmm. they don't feel like it. Again, and that's a tough thing for
mm-hmm.
some of us because we love those hugs from our kids, but again, we're teaching them to have those boundaries so that when we send them out in the world, they're ready.
So we were just kind of ramping up for strategies and specific ways that parents can make sure, and we can't stress enough how important it is in this day and age to protect our kids. And you were just discussing about this idea of allowing children to say no. And in my day and age, of course, it was not allowed. But, you know, having learned and been involved with so many different dysfunctional situations, that I've come to realize it's so important to help our children be their own person.
I think sometimes we get afraid of that. You know, we tend to want to mold our children just how they are. And it, sometimes that's hard. And, you know, they came to this earth with a certain personality. And it's our job to help develop it and not squash it. And that can be tough when we want to teach our kids to say no. But to say yes to us, I would love to clean my room. And that doesn't always happen. And,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to make mistakes. I think mm-hmm. that's the first part for parents to realize is I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're just going to do our best. And you're going to be pleased with the result because you know you did your best.
Yes.
And that's, at the end of the day, what we have to be accountable to.
So I'm looking at that new parent. They have some toddlers coming, you know, maybe a toddler and a baby on the way. The first book, if you are thinking of how am I going to protect my child, would be 30 Days of Sex Talks, ages 3 to 7. That's just learning to respect your body.
That is. That's definitely one of the big steps.
And that you're helping others respect your body, too. That you deserve your body to be respected.
Absolutely. It's a concept that we call bodily integrity. And it's a big word for basically teaching exactly mm-hmm. that principle. I've heard some in Christian communities teaching it as, my body is a temple.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth protecting.
Yes.
I'm something special.
Yes.
And we want to teach our kids and empower them to know I'm something special and I'm worth waiting for.
Yes.
And I'm also worth respecting. But hey, so were you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, that's another one. We have
yes.
a section on respecting ourselves and respecting our peers.
Yes.
So that's definitely a first start. And I think, I'm glad you mentioned toddlers, let's say. I know I was taught we need to wait for our children to ask questions about mm-hmm. sexual health
yes.
and sexual intimacy. And we no longer believe that and teach that.
Yes.
We now are teaching our parents that we come in contact with, you got to bring it up first. Because
mm-hmm.
again, be that first best source of knowledge, but also they're exposed to so much
mm-hmm.
so early. I mean, as soon as they have access to television and mobile devices, we have to do that first. And it's hard and for some people it's scary. But again, the
yes.
parents I know who feel mm-hmm. awkward, it's because their kids are already 10, 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, and their kids are going, Mom and Dad, I already know this.
Exactly.
And you've missed the opportunity. In fact, we know with drug prevention that the bed or the foundation of addictive and aberrant behavior begins in toddlerhood.
Yeah.
And so as we can feed that that self-worth and protect it.
Exactly.
We've then given them an armor in
exactly.
toddlerhood.
Exactly. I love that you use the word armor, because it literally is. Every day,
yes.
we can do just little tools and little things. And I think that's what parents need to realize. It's not one big talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a single event. That's why we've divided it up into 30 talks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's something that you're going to start young and then you're going to layer on mm-hmm. and layer on, just like you would mm-hmm. when you're putting on your armor. You are going, you're protecting that child with knowledge. You know, you're mm-hmm. not going to. Let's talk about that later.
Yes.
Never mind. Let's not brush it under. It's
yes.
just being like, yep, you know what? Mm-hmm. Sex. At the end of the day, I also want my child to know that sex is amazing and beautiful and special. So I'm not going to use shame and fear and guilt. I'm going to help them realize this is something so amazing and so wonderful, but it's also something that kids don't do.
Yeah.
And that we wait until we're emotionally and spiritually ready.
Yes.
And so we start that young age by adding those little amounts of information and seeing where it takes us. Because what I've been surprised at as I've done this program with my own children over the years is the amazing questions they ask back.
Mm-hmm.
I go in thinking I'm going to have a 10-minute discussion, but because they are asking great questions, it turns into
yes.
a 45-minute talk. And at the end of the time, we're closer.
Yes.
We're just a little bit closer as a family. That's been an amazing thing for us.
I almost think that they're wired to know that this is a very sanctified topic. And so if mom and dad are having this discussion, that we need to really pay attention, that this is very important. And the process itself is very affirming for the child. So the next time that something comes and they're not quite sure about, maybe this is one of those important times I need to go talk to mom and dad about. So it opens up that avenue of communication.
Exactly. And I'm glad you put it like that, because that's exactly what we would like, is you start the conversation. Now, you don't create a big event, meaning you don't go, okay, tonight at 5 o'clock, we're
yeah.
having a big talk and everyone needs to be ready. It just needs to be like, hey, come, you know, sit down and mm-hmm. talk with me. You start that conversation, because we don't want to create an event
yeah.
because how does the child duplicate that event when they do have a question?
Yes. Yes.
Now, it's not also just done on the fly, driving to school. You know, you've mm-hmm. got 5 minutes. Hey, I just wanted you to know this. Okay, see you later. Bye. You know, it needs to be where you set aside a little bit of time, where you maybe have done a little preparation. Now, again, our books, we've tried to make it as simple as possible. So we want a parent to open up the book, look at the lesson for literally 5 minutes max, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. That's how simple some of these are. You look at the questions and then you go, boom, I'm ready to go. And you start that question and that discussion. And so you cover one topic. If you feel like, hey, you know what? This leads right into topic number two. Here we go. We're going to do topic number two. Then you do that. Otherwise, hey, just one topic, but it's also just casual enough that your child can duplicate the experience, so that when they do have a question, they know, hey, I can talk to mom or dad about this, you know, dinner time, after dinner, after school, and create, you know, that they can create their own event, let's say, when they have something important they want to talk to you about.
I just want to go over some of the topics. This is in the age 3 to 7, amazing bodies, my body belongs to me, male anatomy, female anatomy, respecting others, public, private, clothing, good touch, bad touch, predators, how to say no, you have instincts that keep you safe, you have feelings and emotions that connect you, romantic love, adults who care about you, where do babies come from, we change and develop, other words you've heard, discovering our own bodies, affection, play, how are boys and girls alike, friendships, my body poops and pees. I want to stop at my body poops and pees just for a moment. Do you think that event, I mean, it's my personal opinion, but I don't know if you maybe have had research, that event actually, depending on how the parent potty trains the child, actually has some impact as to how they feel later about their private parts.
Absolutely. Because again, there's so many, not so many, but there are a few things we do with on accident. I know I've done it, that have maybe perhaps led to a little shame or embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
So I know when I potty trained my kids, I did try to pay special attention to the language I used.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say, "Ew, gross"? No, never.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you know, like when we applaud them, we're so happy
yes.
that they're getting out of diapers, that we can be excited for them
mm-hmm.
and let them know that, you know, your body does amazing things and it's special. And
yes.
so again, using that language, I believe in using the appropriate body parts and appropriate language so that they can be okay with that and normal. Just like, I'm going to call my elbow, I'm going to call my vagina, and I'm going to use that language and be okay with that. And letting them know, yeah, our bodies do have certain functions, you know, and when you feel like it's ready, and also letting your young child know, did you know that, you know, your urethra, where your urine comes out, is different than your vagina, you know? I know I didn't know that until I was a little bit older. And I'm like, that's kind of sad. And it's nothing to be embarrassed about. Yes. It's just my body, right? Mm-hmm. So again, normalizing the, our kids, so that they realize this is normal. And not only am I normal, I'm amazing and I'm beautiful.
I love that thing, be the best you are. You know, parents are the best first source of knowledge just by calling the body parts what they are. When they get in a group of kids and someone says the V word or whatever, it's like, oh, big deal. I already knew that.
Exactly.
It's, it just doesn't have near the ooh around it.
Yeah, none of the shock and awe, right? And I know that that's something I've tried to really say to my kids, because they'll look at our kids, they're waiting for those cues. You know, and they might tell you, somebody said such and such at school today. And you go, oh, really? They said penis? Okay. Isn't that interesting? You know, or they're in the grocery store and baby brother just said it loud and big sister's looking at you and you're just like, okay, yeah, well, it's okay, right? Those are special sacred parts of our body, but you know what? It's, you know, we also, we're not going to freak out. We're going to protect them. You know, we're going to keep them covered, especially, you know, when we're talking about good touch, bad touch, but we're also going to say, you know what? But they're, it's not a big deal. We're not going to freak out.
And then in the age group 8 to 11, you start handling some of those things that we don't handle very much, such as masturbation. We tend to not realize that our children are actually going through puberty earlier than ever. And that topic needs to be discussed.
Yeah, and it, you know, I literally just had that discussion with my children a few weeks ago. 8-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy. And I knew it. I felt like it was right. And I had also thought to myself, do I need to do this individually? Because that's something else you as a parent need to decide. Is this something you can do at the dinner table, or are you going to do this individually? And I ended up talking to both of them at the same time, which I haven't done for all the topics, but it felt right. And I knew it was right. And it was, we had it in this conversation, this kind of voice, nothing scary or freaky, but we gave them our personal views on masturbation. That's what I want all parents to do. It's your home.
Yes.
You create that environment in your home. If you have very specific views that you feel like it's unhealthy, then you share that. But if you feel like it's healthy, then you're going to share that. And so that's also why, again, we're trying to reach, you know, a really broad audience. We want parents to share this book with their friends, because, and our friends differ on a lot of stuff, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. Very varied views on this within the church and outside of the church. This, I want this also to be a book that you can hand to your friends and say, hey, you make the call in your home.
Yeah.
One of the tough topics we have in this, even in this 8 to 11 book, is sexual identification.
Yes.
Again, parents don't want to talk about it, but we have media and pornography already telling our children what their views on it. So guess what, parents? We got to be that first best source of information on your views. And you're going to find out the questions in our books, they're not very specific. They're meant for you to take it to whichever level you want to take it to.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us. Parents, I encourage you to go to educateempowerkids.org, and they can get the books there.
They can get, if you go to the website, it will direct you to Amazon.
Okay.
But the books are available on Amazon. And they're a great, simple tool.
Yes,
and
fantastic.
Parents, thank you. I think you'll love them.
Yes, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.